Grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan. Never in a million years did I imagine not being a Cowboy once I put on this uniform and put on this star. So through it all, there was never a slight doubt in my mind that I wouldn't wear the star for the rest of my life. And when you sign that line, you're a Cowboy forever and you can't get out. And I'm excited for that.
After months upon months of waiting and hot taking, the ink has finally dried. Dak Prescott has signed up to remain a Cowboy, in his words, forever. But forever ever? Forever ever? Today, Mina Kimes breaks down the future of the Cowboys and one of the most seismic free agent signing periods the league has seen in a long time. Oh, and before I forget, we've also got a very special guest that you and Mina won't want to miss. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, March 12th. This is ESPN Daily. Hello, Mina.
Hey, Pablo.
Mina Kimes is an NFL analyst for ESPN, and you can catch her on NFL Live and hosting the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny podcast. So I have never done this before on the podcast because it is rude objectively, so I apologize.
No.
I am very excited to talk to you about everything that's happening in the NFL, Dak Prescott, the new contract, free agency, all of that, but you are not the guest I am most excited about talking to on today's show.
I'm fully aware of that as someone who not only knows who that guest is, but introduced you to that guest and perhaps brokered the interview. I get it. I'm fully aware that I am the opening act.
Yeah, me and this guest are getting along great, by the way. We have a whole thing that you don't need to know about right now, but I've already said too much.
You have. Yeah.
Yeah. But you are here to talk about the NFL. That is what you do all the time, whether you're sleeping, whether you're awake. And the big story that I think you've spent, I think literally thousands of hours discussing on television, Mina, is Dak Prescott and the Cowboys and the will they or won't they, and now the massive $160 million contract with $126 million guaranteed, an average of $40 million a year, the highest signing bonus ever, et cetera, et cetera. So what were your thoughts when you finally got this news?
Well, first, I'd like to say I hope I'm not talking about football in my sleep. But if I am, it's definitely been about this contract and Dak Prescott, because I have, as you said, I've talked about it a ton, just as have all of our colleagues at ESPN, especially those of us who cover the NFL, because it's lasted a really long time. I think it's actually fair to call it a saga. It's been a contract saga, not a contract dispute. And it is finally over, and it is a relief. Now we can move on to talking about Dallas Cowboys, the football team. And I think that football team, while they did pay a ton of money to Dak, as you described, it's a record-breaking contract, it was worth it because they have the best quarterback in their division. And I think a good way to look at this deal and other deals in general is, are your rivals happy about it? And I would imagine the Eagles, Giants, and Washington football team, none of them are happy.
Yeah, I do love the idea that you're out in the world somewhere and people are just going to yell Dak Prescott at you like they're asking for Freebird.
Play Dak.
But in terms of paying Dak and the contract that he's getting and the fact that he's going to be 31 years old by the end of it, which is still, I mean, young, how big of a risk is that for the Cowboys? I mean, the idea that this guy you're giving all this money to, you're giving the world to, he can also just walk away when this is all over.
Well, it would have been worse, Pablo, for Dallas if he had walked away after this year. Because not only would they have, you know, not gotten something in return for him, but also they wouldn't have a plan at quarterback. There is no heir apparent, which is why this deal is not only so massive, but also it's short. It's what Dak wanted. It's 4 years. And for Dallas, the cost of not having gotten this done earlier isn't just the financial size of it, but the fact that Dak did get that no franchise tag clause, which means they're going to have to do this all over again. As you mentioned, 31 is young in quarterback years. In running back years, you're retired. But as a quarterback, having seen how long Tom Brady and even beyond can play, it's likely that Dak will not only get another deal at 31, he'll get another deal after that. So it's a tremendous win for him from a monetary perspective.
You mentioned that there's going to be this no franchise tag clause. There's going to be this no trade clause also. I mean, Jerry Jones, Mina, it felt like he had to bend the knee here. And in this press conference on Wednesday, he kind of admitted as much. He basically said that he might have overpaid.
The truth is, most anything that I've ever been involved in that ended up being special, I overpaid for.
So when you think of Jerry, Mina, and just how hard he had dug the heels of his boots in, and how notorious he is for getting what he wants, how did he allow this to happen?
Well, Pablo, Dallas stuck to their guns, and those guns backfired on them. You know, for a while, last offseason and before, we heard that the point of contention between the two sides was not just the average annual value, but also the length of the contract. Dallas really likes to do these long-term deals. If you look at some of the other guys who have gotten paid on offense, Ezekiel Elliott, Tyron Smith, Amari Cooper, they're longer contracts. They wanted Dak to sign a six-year deal, and he did not. And the reason why they ultimately gave in is because every year that went by, as he got closer to free agency, his leverage went up. Even when he wasn't on the football field, and his willingness to absorb that risk, knowing that time was working in his favor, is what led him to win in the end.
I just like that Jerry now is also trying to spin this as like, oh, no, I wanted this. It's an honor to hand over this much money to one of my employees. I love this. What are you talking about? But speaking of the costs involved here and the balance sheet that the Cowboys are now staring at, it feels important, Mina, to note that no team has ever won the Super Bowl with one player making 15% of the salary cap. And it's also worth noting, for those who are unfamiliar, that the Cowboys, since like flat screen TVs have been invented, have not been in the Super Bowl at all. They couldn't win the weakest division, the NFC East, in NFL history, arguably, just last year. And Dak himself, the skeptics would point out, he's only managed a single playoff win as starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. So is it possible that this deal actually makes it harder for the Cowboys to achieve their ultimate goal?
Well, first, I'd like to address the Super Bowl salary cap thing, which gets brought up a lot these days. Whenever a team gives a quarterback a big deal, I have like a personal gripe with it that I'm about to, unfortunately, unleash on you.
Please.
I really hate using it as a data point because there are very few Super Bowls, one. It's a very small sample size of teams that actually do win, and Tom Brady has won so many of them that it's really skewed. And of course, he has, when he was in New England and even on Tampa, has not been the highest paid quarterback in the NFL for the most part. On top of that, getting to a Super Bowl, like, weird stuff happens. Like Drew Brees was a very highly paid quarterback a couple of years ago. His contract is not why the Saints got jobbed and didn't get to go to the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan's contract is not why they made all those crazy coaching decisions and all that insane stuff happened when they played New England and imploded. Patrick Mahomes' contract is not why the entire Chiefs offensive line got injured at once last year. If you see what I'm saying, Super Bowls are weird. If you expand the scope of playoff teams to the Final Four, you will see many teams with highly compensated quarterbacks who make it to the championship round or make it into the Super Bowl. It's worth focusing on the fact not that those teams are paying their quarterbacks a lot of money, but they're paying the right quarterbacks a lot of money. So if Dallas paid the right quarterback, and I think they did because Dak Prescott, in my mind, is a top 10 quarterback, it's not a mistake. It does, however, make their job harder. You know, giving any player a lot of money makes it harder to field a championship roster. But one benefit of doing a long-term deal as they did instead of just tagging a player yet again is they can now massage that contract and, you know, allocate a lot of it to signing bonuses, which can be spread out over the course of several years.
Yeah, I just want to spin this now and say, I actually love that you unleashed upon my stat. I meant for that to happen. That's just good content for us. I always never really believed in that stat.
You're like Jerry Jones. This is the outcome you wanted.
So now we look around, Mina, at all of the other giant deals that owners will basically be compelled to all sign these quarterbacks to. It started really with Patrick Mahomes last summer, resetting the entire market for elite quarterbacks. Now we have Baltimore Ravens GM Eric DaCosta coming out and basically publicly saying he knows exactly what the price tag is going to be for Lamar Jackson, and that's just part of the deal at this point.
You know, if you go to the Bentley dealership or the Range Rover dealership, you know what the cars are going to cost. You're not going to get much of a discount. They all cost.
And then Buffalo, I mean, they're going to have to, the Bills are going to have to pay Josh Allen and lock him up pretty soon. How is what Dak just did going to shape the futures of those other quarterbacks who are waiting in line now?
It is going to make those teams hurry to get those deals done. As far as the contracts go or those quarterbacks go, it's a little bit of a different situation because Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are first round draft picks. So you not only have the franchise tag, you also have the fifth year option, which is basically another year of cost control that only applies to rookies taken in the first round. However, with quarterback contracts generally, time is a massive factor, as big of a factor as talent in how players are valued. And basically, whoever gets it done first is probably going to get the cheaper deal. It's typically how these things have gone. The quarterbacks themselves, on the other hand, I don't see how they can't look at Dak Prescott, who, again, as I said, broke his ankle and watched his value go up and not feel like, hey, I should not settle. Because much like Dak Prescott, my team needs me. I am a top 10 quarterback. I think both of those guys are. I don't know if I want to play on the tag necessarily, but I definitely don't want to get a cheap team-friendly deal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, we have seen quarterbacks begin to flex their muscle in recent years. You mentioned Dak betting on himself. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, they're all kind of rattling their sabers these days to varying degrees, but very conspicuously. Are we entering a different era in terms of quarterback control, in terms of quarterback agency in the NFL?
I would say yes and no. Yes, because it's undeniable that quarterbacks, players in general, feel more empowered. Not just to speak out on issues that have nothing to do with football, but also to take ownership, agency when it comes to their own careers and their teams and whether or not they'd like to play for those teams. But no, because at the end of the day, if we're really talking about whether a quarterback is going to force his way off of a roster or onto another team, that quarterback has to be willing to hold out still. And I think Deshaun Watson's situation is unusual in that people actually believe it's gotten to that point that he will go scorched earth on this franchise, and this is notable, that the franchise deserves it. Like, people are on Deshaun Watson's side, which makes it, frankly, a little bit easier for him to take this stance.
So what you're saying is that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers should be sort of scouring the internet for stand-up videos from Pete Carroll and the Green Bay Packers front office.
For those who don't know, Papa Torrent is talking about a Jack Easterby, a very strange video of Jack Easterby, the Texans executive who Deshaun Watson is at odds with. And boy, did I just explain this joke into boredom.
Mina, after the break, I want to examine the difficulty of navigating the upcoming NFL free agent market and those financial constraints that we really haven't seen in a decade.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Mina, we are here now at the end of a week that has been, honestly, this bloodbath for the league in terms of teams parting ways with some big notable names. So for those who don't follow all of the off-the-field minutiae, the accounting department of the NFL, what's going on here?
So COVID is what happened. The league finally sets salary cap, get $182.5 million, which, Pablo, is $16 million less than what it was last year. Mm. The salary cap hasn't dropped like that in a decade. Teams did see it coming. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while. They just didn't know exactly what the final figure would be. And as a result, as you mentioned, we are seeing cuts and players let go who probably would not be let go or would be traded in normal years where the cap goes up. We're also seeing a few early deals or reports of deals that give us some insight into not only how NFL teams regard this year, but the upcoming years, which is to say there is a widespread belief that while the cap is down for 2021, it's going to go back up, and it's going to go back up in a big way at some point when the NFL gets a new TV deal. Mm. So you're seeing short-term deals, teams basically walking the line between trying to save money now so they can get under the cap, but also knowing that things are going to go back to normal at some point.
So for the time being, we have this unique financial landscape that has really tied the hands of a lot of teams in the league. And before we look at who's hit the market unexpectedly as a product of that and how that's going to shape the whole offseason, how are teams working to hold on to some of their guys?
I would say you're seeing some more normal restructuring as teams try to either get under the cap or stay under the cap. Carolina, for example, restructured deals for Christian McCaffrey, their star running back, Shaq Thompson, the linebacker, to clear some cap space. And then we're going to see deals with, shall we say, creative accounting. I think of Bucks linebacker, Levante David, who's terrific. I mean, you saw his presence in the Super Bowl, how incredible he was. He's been underrated his entire career. So yeah, he just signed a two-year, $25 million deal with Tampa, but they tacked on three void years, which basically don't exist, but what it means is they're able to spread the money out, the non-salary money, so that it's only a $3.5 million cap hit this year instead of half of that $25 million. And Dak Prescott also had void years on his contract. Pablo, I wouldn't be surprised if we see other players have their deal structured that way.
Yeah, the void year, I mean, as a tool of creative accounting, as you say, it makes total sense. But it seems like you're just circumventing the cap, right? Like, that's by rule you can do that? That's totally allowed?
You're not circumventing it. You're just pushing out the pain. Like, eventually, that bill is going to come due, just not today.
Is this kind of what you mean, Mina, when I hear you telling Marcus Spears on TV all the time that teams can just figure out the cap? Like, there is a way for them to do it. It's possible. Like, it's just let the people in accounting figure it out, basically.
It's more about what your timeline is. Like I said, the bill's going to come due at some point. But if you're a team that really wants to contend in the present tense, you might be more likely to restructure deals and move money around so that you can fit a lot of stars onto your cap right now. You know, I mentioned Levante David, but another extension we're probably going to see any day now really is Tom Brady, just so that they can fit Chris Godwin, their wide receiver, who they put the franchise tag on, and they've got a big deal coming down the pike for Shaq Barrett, their star edge rusher as well.
So there's kind of this global warming approach here. It's kind of like, look, right now, we're going to take advantage of the fact that we're in the present tense. The weather's nice. Let's get in our giant Range Rover, and the people coming after us who have to like pay the bill on this stuff, they can handle it. But for the time being, we are great.
That is a bleak analogy, but we are talking about the NFL, so it does feel kind of appropriate.
So let's get back to the cap casualties and how they're impacting the free agent market here, because I'm wondering what the biggest or even just the most surprising cuts that you've seen, what are those?
the reality is, Pablo, none of them have been super surprising, again, given the context and the reality of the cap once it hit. But I think they're surprising insofar as, like, they're good players. I think of Buffalo parting ways with Quentin Jefferson, defensive lineman, John Brown, very good veteran receiver. New York letting Kevin Zeitler, their guard, one of their best offensive linemen, go. It's not a very good offensive line, so that's going to be an issue for them. And then along those lines, a literal line, Kansas City releasing Eric Fisher, their starting left tackle, and Mitchell Schwartz, their starting right tackle. Now, Pablo, on one hand, this is, like I said, not terribly surprising. It makes sense. It's saving them nearly $20 million on the cap. And we're talking about two guys, both coming off of major injuries, both in their early 30s. But on the other hand, we just saw Kansas City arguably lose the Super Bowl because of their offensive line. And with these two guys gone, Austin Reier, the center, is a free agent. I mean, there are just question marks across that group. And I got to think Chiefs fans are a little bit nervous after learning the limits of what Patrick Mahomes is capable of behind a completely ramshackle offensive line.
Yeah, the O-line last season was plunged into seemingly an exceptional amount of chaos. And so now that they lose two guys, two big names as O-linemen go, I mean, we spent the first part of the show talking about the repercussions and the domino effect of Dak's deal and how that might impact how the Cowboys roster is now going to have to be constructed because of all the money that went to him. So is this move by Kansas City, is this the result of them paying Patrick Mahomes in a similar way?
I would say it's more so the result of them paying a number of players. Patrick Mahomes doesn't even have the biggest cap hit on the roster this year. It's actually Frank Clark, their defensive end and star pass rusher. And then Chris Jones is right behind Mahomes at nearly $22 million. That's a lot of money on the defensive line. After them, Tyrann Mathieu, Tyreek Hill, Kelsey, all are ranking near the top because it's very much a star-driven roster, which is what Dallas is like. And when you have rosters like that, Pablo, you basically need two things to happen to continue to succeed. The stars have to play very well, which they have in Kansas City, less so or to mixed results, I think, in Dallas. And then you need draft picks and cheap veterans to hit. And I think for the Chiefs going forward, with not just Mahomes, but a few players on big contracts, they're just going to have to find value elsewhere.
So you mentioned that the Chiefs are a star-driven team. I am now almost obligated to ask you about a star who wants to drive more of his team. So is there anything that you want to say to your Seattle Seahawks? As I'm seeing rumors just fly around Twitter, Mina, about Russell Wilson and what seems to be an exit that at the very least feels realistic.
I would say, and this is just Mina Kimes, the analyst talking, not Mina Kimes, the Homer fan, it makes a lot of sense why a team like Chicago would want Russell Wilson. It makes zero sense why a team like Seattle would be willing to make that trade. And Pablo, if they do make that trade, you can call me and ESPN Daily listeners can hear my meltdown in real time.
I was going to say, I know this is Mina Kimes, the analyst, because I don't hear the sound of a computer screen being punched.
Listen, let's just wait until it happens. I'll just say I have AppleCare.
Mina Kimes, thank you for joining us. I'm excited to have you back on the show, and I'm excited that we're done talking, honestly, because after the break, we're going to talk to the most passionate English Premier League fan that I know. That you know, you're very familiar with this person's work.
I am.
Sun Min Kimes, your mom, about to blow everything you just said out of the water.
You know what? She's already better than me at Twitter. Might as well be better than me at podcasting as well.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another story I want you to know. If you're an active member of sports Twitter, which can be a beautiful but also miserable place, you may have found some of that beauty in the refreshingly sincere and optimistic feed of Mina Kimes' mother, Sunmin Kimes. Sunmin is an avid fan of the English Premier League, and when she's not using Twitter to troll her daughter, she's often live tweeting EPL matches, keeping fans updated on all the action, with accidental life lessons kind of sprinkled in. This Sunday, Sunmin's beloved Tottenham Spurs square off against their rival Arsenal in the North London Derby, and I'll be honest here, I've just been looking for a reason to have her on the podcast. So we called her up. Sunmin Kimes, it is an honor to have you on the podcast. You are our most requested and long-awaited guest, so thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us, but I don't know why I'm the most requested guest, but anyways, thanks for having me. Go ahead.
You are absolutely that. Don't let Mina tell you otherwise. But the first question I have is about, of course, your fandom of Tottenham, and you are one of their most famous fans now, I think it's safe to say. How did you first start to support the Spurs?
The reason was my son Isaac, and he kept just talking about this club, and I said, I love football, I mean soccer, so sure, let me join your club. And also their son, the South Korean international, is a star player there, so that was a very easy choice for me. And so I love it. That's how I joined it.
You just mentioned Sonny, as fans call him, Son Heung-min. What's it like to watch him, Sonmin? What's it like to watch a Korean player be that good on your favorite team?
Well, that's awesome because as the same, you know, national, but also he's a relentless pursuit, very hard work, the work ethic and constant, you know, the positive presence in the locker room and club and on the pitch and everything. So just fell in love with, not just because he's a fellow Korean, but because his behavior and all other characteristics.
Yeah, he is so easy to root for. And how he got to be so good in the sport, as you described, is inspiring for any Asian fans of sports and soccer in particular. And I want to understand, Sunmin, what do you love about the English Premier League as a whole?
First and foremost, I love the fans. And this Premier fandom is just the best fans of any sporting league in the world, in my opinion. And we're talking about fandom going back generations. Clubs that are over 100 years old, some clubs. And also, players are from all different every walk of life.
Sunmin, do you have any advice for people who maybe want to get into the English Premier League for the very first time? What would you advise them?
Yes, I do. Just to pour a cup of coffee or tea on any given game day, usually Saturday or Sunday morning. The time zone, the 5-hour difference time zone, is very advantageous for American fans. So we watch these matches in the morning and then go about our day. Also, about picking a club, you don't have to pick a really that what they so-called the big six. You don't have to do that. Support any club, any upcoming, more up-and-coming clubs, and then you can feel a belonging and an investment with a club like that. That's another good way. It's a fun, just a learning process.
Mm-hmm. So if caffeine in some form plus Twitter is part of your secret to fandom success, I did want to ask you, I mean, let's be honest, Sunmin, it does feel like the people in the Kimes family they were born to tweet. You now have this amazing Twitter presence where you tweet during EPL games. And also, as anybody who listens to this show, I hope, knows by now, you deliver these perfect replies to your daughter on Twitter. So what is the secret to your Twitter success?
Pablo, that's so nice of you to say. I try to keep my Twitter positive. And I think today's society across the world will have a lot of negativity. And somehow I want to be a positive force on Twitter. And also, this is between you and me. I can't deny that when I troll or roast Mina, I guess my pleasure doing it. So, you know, it's a pretty tough because I'm not that really witty. I want to be funny. That's my lifelong goal. It's not easy to be funny. I watch game a lot lately because I'm homebound because I cannot drive. I cannot go anywhere. So some days I watch 3-4 games if I'm lucky.
I mean, I didn't realize, Sunmin, that you were grinding tape, that you were watching that many games. That's astounding to me.
Because you have a job, right? You have a job. Your father, you have to do something. But me, right now, the only thing I have is time. So just stay home. What else I do? K-drama, I do a little bit here and there. But
oh.
I just watch and watch and watch. So never get tired of it. So I just enjoy watching it.
So we have to talk about K-dramas on another podcast. That's a whole other rabbit hole that we need to really dive into. But
we need another session on K-drama.
Absolutely. So Sunmin, before we let you go, we need you to make like your daughter here and give us a hot take for the North London Derby, because Arsenal is hosting your Tottenham side on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So who wins? Who's going to be scoring?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question. I can see also Arsenal's Aubameyang, who is an incredible striker. He might score one. So I'm thinking or seeing 2-1 or 3-1 Tottenham at this point. But who knows, Pablo? That's my hope.
Oh, we appreciate anytime we can get a Sunmin Kimes hot take. It is a good day on ESPN Daily. And by the way, Sunmin, you said your lifelong goal is to be funny. I am happy to report that you have achieved that lifelong goal. That is not even a question.
No, seriously, I wanted to be funny and witty. That's not even easy in Korean, not to mention in English right now. Very agonizing effort, but I'm trying. So, yeah, being funny and a little smile and laughter, that's a really good thing. So that's my goal, Pablo. And it was so nice to talk to you and see you for a second. And happy fathering.
Thank you so much. I just want to say thank you to the Twitter god, Sunmin Kimes, for joining us on ESPN Daily.
So thanks for having me.
You can follow Sunmin on Twitter at Sunmin Kimes. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vale. Special thanks this week to Max Brodsky, Alex Eliasoff, Michael Shialo, Mina Kimes, Garrett Lagg, and Jackson Ugelo. By the way, don't forget to set your clocks and spring forward. And then I'll talk to you Monday.
I love your friendship with Mina.
I love how much you support the stuff that not only Mina does, but that I do. It's really nice of you to be supportive, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really love you and Mina both equally.
Yes, put that on the record, guys. We're still recording. Right. Put that on the record.
All right. Thank you, Pablo.